There's a story about a plague. It hit the earth, the whole earth, and the entire population of the planet was dying, and they all had just a few short months in which to live, and they began a research project to discover how to cure this plague, this illness that was striking every single living human being on the planet. And they knew that out there, there had to be, among all the people on the planet, at least one person who had just the right combination of biochemical elements in their blood that would defeat this illness. And they could use that biochemical combination of elements in that person's blood to produce a serum and to produce a vaccine so that humans would not have to die from this horrible disease. And so they started this research project, and they called on every human, all 6 billion of us, to be tested to find out if there was one person out there who had the right combination of elements in their blood. And so they tested and they tested and they tested. And people would come, and they'd be tested, and the doctor would look at them and shake their head and say no. And they would bring their families and their friends and their children and their grandchildren. And every time the doctor would run the test, and then the doctor would look at the family and look at them and say, no, we have not yet found the cure for the disease. We have not yet found the cure for our planet, and we're all going to die. Until finally came a family, a young man and his son, up to be tested at the hospital. And they ran the blood and they ran it through the analyzers and they got the reports back from the lab, and there was some commotion amongst all of the technicians. And they came out and they drew some more blood and they took it back and they ran another set of tests, and there was even more commotions from the lab. And they came in and they took even more blood and they tested it and they looked at it and they examined it under the microscopes and they ran it through all the computers and they checked and they checked. And every time, the results kept on coming back positive. Yes, we found the one. We found the person. We found the one. And they came in, and they looked at the man, and then they looked at the man's son, and they said, sir, we have found the blood type that will save all of humanity. Sir, we found the blood type that will save all of humanity. And the father, thank God, he had been given this wonderful, glorious, sweet, loving son whose blood type would save the world. Okay, what do you need to do? Do you need more blood? And the doctor's face fell. And he looked at the man and he said, sir, you don't understand. To culture enough to save 6 billion people, to prepare enough to save all of humanity, we're going to need all his blood. Every last drop. In other words, we're going to need him completely. And the father looked at his son, and his son looked at his dad and said, for everybody? And the dad said, yes, for everybody. And the son said, yes. And the doctors took the boy away. God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are beyond our comprehension. God's ways are not our ways. That's what Isaiah was saying in his prophecy in chapter 55 today. God's ways are not our ways. He wrote, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. We do not understand. We cannot comprehend why Jesus had to come and why Jesus had to die. We cannot understand. We cannot comprehend why the blood of one had to be shed for the sins of many. But my friends, it is true. It had to happen. And our only answer is because God is true to His Word. God is true and faithful. God is true to what He says, and when He says it, He means it. And He said that the life of the soul resides in the blood, and for penalty, the penalty for sin is death. And the only way to pay for sin is a sacrifice of blood worth enough to cover the sin. And in the Old Testament, He allowed for animals, bulls and rams and sheep, even pigeons and doves. He allowed for animals and their blood and their death to stand in for us. But on the cross, in the first century AD, God made provision with His own Son and His blood, which was worth enough to pay for the sins of everybody who has ever lived, from Mother Teresa to Saddam Hussein and beyond. He gave His Son, and every final drop of His blood to cover all the sins ever committed or that will ever be committed. He made provision. He is true to His Word. He never turns back on His Word. And when He says it, He means it. That's why Jesus had to come and die for our sins. Let's take a look at this prophecy from Isaiah and what he has to say to us about being found and finding God. He begins by saying, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." 2 points from this. Firstly, seek the Lord. Don't just sit there on your duff and do nothing. God has already taken the initiative to come and find you. He has already taken the initiative to give His Son to die for the sins of the whole world. He has prepared the way for you to accept Him, to find Him, to seek Him, and to receive Him. Don't sit there, do nothing. Get up and find Him. Point one. Point two is, in some mysterious way, you better do it now. While you are able, while you have breath, while you live, you better do it now. Don't wait. Do it now. Don't wait, because it may become too late for you to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. He is near to you in this life. While He is near to you, seek Him. Find Him. Receive Him. He's already taken the initiative, my friends. Respond. Act and respond in faith. Seek the Lord. That's point number one. Point number two, we're going to address now in the next verse. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that He may have mercy on them, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Someone said to me last week, "Greg, I'm not worthy to come to the table. I'm not worthy to receive Holy Communion. I'm not worthy to come and to kneel and to pray and to receive the bread and to receive the juice and to receive the grace of Jesus Christ in my life. I am not worthy to come to the table of the Lord." And I told this person, I said, "Guess what? Neither am I. And neither is anyone in the sanctuary. None of us are worthy to come to the table of the Lord. None of us are worthy to receive the grace that He offers. None of us are worthy. Only Jesus Christ and His blood is worthy and makes us worthy to come to the table of the Lord. But we do have a responsibility when we come. The grace is freely offered. The grace is there to be received. If only we will receive it. If only we will seek and find and receive. And when we do, we have a responsibility. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Not just what you do, but what you think. Place them behind you. Place them away. And then let them return to the Lord, that He may have mercy on them, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. There's a word for this in Christian theology. It's called, and sadly you don't hear it enough in Methodist churches, it's called repent. Wonderful word, repent. What does it mean? Well, I am pinting towards Gerald. I'm pinting his direction. Pint is a Middle English word meaning to go, to travel towards. I am now repenting from Gerald, going away from. To pint means to go. To repent means to turn around and go the other way. To repent means to recognize you're pinting the wrong way and to turn around and go the other way. To realize you are traveling in unrighteousness and to turn around and travel in Christ's righteousness is the essence here, my friends. We are called to repent of our sin. Repent of our ways and thoughts that are not in accordance with God's ways and God's thoughts. We are called to repent, to go the other direction from those ways that we have gone and to travel the way God calls us to travel. Chapter 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. And this takes us back to where we started. Sometimes we think to ourselves, why couldn't have God just said, okay, you're sinners, you're a sinner, and I understand you're a sinner, Jim, but I'm going to forgive you anyway. Just have fun. Amen. He says amen, yes indeed. Uh-uh, can't be as easy as that. Someone had to die for Jim. Someone had to die for Jim's sins. Someone had to die on the cross for Jim's sins, a symbol to all the world of how Jim's sins separate him from God. And the same is true for each and every one of you and for me and for everybody outside these windows and doors and walls. God could have, if God had wanted to, because God is omnipotent, that means all-powerful, God could have said, I forgive you all, let's just have a party. Let's just set aside all the rules and all the regulations in my ways, and let's do it your way. I hate the song. You know, it's supposed to be his most famous and popular song. But Frank Sinatra's song, I Did It My Way, makes me want to puke. It is one of the most sinful concepts I have ever heard. I did it my way. And you'll go to hell. If you do it your way, guess what? You're not going up. You'll go to hell. That's another word you don't hear much in Methodist churches, and let's just use this as a curse or a slur. But it's true. If we do it our way, we're in trouble. We must do it God's way. I'd rather he sung, I did it God's way. No. My way, or as they perverted it now again on TV in the commercials, I did it eBay. Oh, vomit. God's ways are not our ways. And when we try to live this life by our ways, we're going to fail. And we do every time. God doesn't try to sneak around the rules. God doesn't try to sneak around His Word. God doesn't try to get away with having His own way. After He said it, He means it, and He's going to abide by it. He's faithful. We try to sneak around what we say. We try to sneak around and say, oh, well, I promised, you know, I didn't do it this year because I've gotten smart. I promised to give up chocolate 2 years ago at Christmas. I mean, at Lent. That was dumb. One year I tried to give up Cokes, and that was just a nightmare. I knew Gene would shoot me if I tried that. Try to get around it, sneak around it by thinking to myself, well, who's going to know? Who's going to know that I'm eating this candy bar? No one's going to know. Invariably, I'd buy this candy bar and eat the candy bar and leave the wrapper in my front seat, and guess who gets in the car to go with me to lunch the next day? Church member. Oh, didn't you give up the Hershey bars for Lent? Oops. Caught. God's ways are not our ways. We try to get around. We try to get around our word. We try to get around what we say we'll do. God doesn't. God says it, and He means it. His ways are not our ways. Thank God. Because if His ways were our ways, I wouldn't want God for God. And then what does it say at the very end? The last point. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. I was online the other night looking at pictures, recent pictures from the Hubble Space Telescope, and they had focused in on what they said was the very furthest galaxy in the universe. The very furthest one. The one further than any other that we had ever seen before, billions of light years away. And it was an amazing photograph to realize I'm looking at a picture that is of a galaxy billions of light years away and billions of years old. What an amazing picture. God's ways are further removed from you and me than we are from that galaxy. God's ways are further above us in morality, honesty, truthfulness, and faithfulness than we are removed from any point in our solar system, galaxy, cluster of galaxies, and universe. God's ways are infinitely above our ways. And that's good news for you and me. Because while we are capricious, while we will try to get around our own word, while we will try to slink around and sneak around and get away and think we won't get caught, God never does that. God is true to His word. And that's why Jesus had to die on the cross. Because God is true to His word. And God knew that only the divine human blood of Jesus, shed on the cross for the sins of the world, could cover our sins. Only the blood of Jesus, the blood of His Son, could cover our sins. As we go through the season of Lent, remember that. Remember that this season is for us. Christmas is for Jesus. He is the reason for that season. Lent, Good Friday, and Easter morning is us. We are the reason Jesus died on the cross. We are the reason He came into this world. He is true to His word, and His word tells how He will cleanse the world from sin through a sacrifice sufficient, and only Jesus is sufficient. Give thanks to God for the grace and the strength and the peace that comes from knowing God is faithful to His word. His ways are far above our ways, and indeed we can trust in Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And let the people of God say, Amen.